In May of 2000, the people of Kitchinume, Kusib, Ininueg in northern Ontario filed a land claim with the federal and provincial governments and issued a general moratorium on resource development in their traditional territory. For Far North First Nations, including Kitchinume, Kusib, Ininueg, reaffirmed that moratorium on October 27, 2005. The following day, Platinex Incorporated listed their shares on the Toronto Stock Exchange, and in February of 2006, Platinex Incorporated began exploration activities in direct contravention of the October moratorium. On the line to talk with us about the ongoing struggle against mining exploration in Ontario's far north is John Cutfeet. Hi, John.
Good morning, Don.
Good to have you with us.
It's good to be here.
I was hoping you could bring us right up to date on what the status of the land up in Ontario's far north is.
Okay. Well, first of all, as you mentioned earlier, we had a drilling company prepared to move into our territory in early February. We found out as we went out there to check out the site, which is about 40 kilometers south of the community. It is located across the lake. Kitchinume-Kusib-Ininueg is located 603 kilometers northwest of Thunder Bay, just to give you an idea as to where we're located. What had happened up to that point was that we had, as you mentioned, issued a moratorium on all development activity happening within our territory prior to our outstanding treaty land entitlement was settled. Now, in terms of the promises of land made at the time of treaty, we signed the 1929 adhesion to Treaty Number 9 in our community, July 5, 1929, to become a part of that treaty, 1905 treaty. So at that time, we haven't received all of the land that was entitled to our community. And based on that, we were seeing a lot of exploration companies, mining companies, development companies coming into our territories while our treaty land entitlement remained outstanding. They were receiving permits from the provincial government, the Ontario government, to do whatever work necessary they needed to as per the Mining Act. And we've always had a concern with that because basically, as you know, our treaty land entitlement encompasses about an additional 200 square miles of unresolved land entitlement. So we basically issued a moratorium and said that we have to settle the land entitlement first. And but they continued. They continued despite the fact that, that there were Supreme Court rulings as well that directed the Crown to speak or consult and accommodate the communities prior to issuing permits. And the most recent ruling is the Mixel ruling of Treaty Number 8, where the Crown was directed that they have to consult and accommodate First Peoples prior to issuing out any permits that may impact Aboriginal treaty rights. So that didn't happen, and they continued to issue out permits to this company called Platinex. And they let them know that they had quiet possession of land, totally clear as to what that means. I guess they can move in quietly, do their drilling without letting anybody know. And that was the case in Kitchinume-Kusib-Ininueg. We did find out quite by accident that this drilling company had moved into the territory without talking or consulting with our community. So basically, we ended up having to protest, and we eventually the company left, and then they came back at us with a $10 billion lawsuit, as well as they were looking for an interlocutory injunction to remove us from any of the area where their drilling program was situated. And so we went to court on June 22nd and 23rd, just after Aboriginal Day, National Aboriginal Day, and we didn't get a decision for about 5 weeks. And Justice Smith, who was the presiding judge, came out with his decision, and it came out in our favor, basically saying that any activity that happened will have quite an impact on our lives, as the land is our heart and soul. So we were quite happy with that decision. As we have always said, that the land is very important to our spiritual and cultural connection to the land. And so basically the judge recognized that. Plus he also recognized the fact that the Crown had failed to consult with us, despite the fact that there are approximately 16 years of law addressing the Crown's duty to consult. So what the decision said then was that we had to return the supplies or the materials, the lumber, when we dismantled the Plotnik's drilling camp in February. We had stored the supplies in our community for safekeeping, and we have always said that Plotnik's was welcome to come and retrieve its property. And so that was one of the that was part of the judgment made by Justice P. Smith, that we returned the property, and we had always been more than willing to do that, as we were just removed all those supplies to the community for safekeeping. And the other thing that Justice Smith had ordered was for our community, Chinook-Sibininwak, to set up a consultation committee and begin trying dealing with ways to see if we can come up with any agreement for Plotnik's either to continue with this drilling program, as well as involving the Ontario government to fulfill its obligation to consult. Now, we have until, we have 5 months when the ruling came out. The ruling came out around the end of July. And we have about 5 months to try and come and come to some sort of an agreement as per Justice Smith's ruling. And at that time, we will have to appear again to see where we are in terms of consultation. Now, I just on that note, we found out that Plotnik's, the company, had filed a leave to appeal, which will be heard on October the 12th. They had initially wanted to have that hearing held on August 31st, but I guess they moved it up to October the 12th. As well as another development in the case, the drilling company, Cartwright Drilling, had also since then filed a lawsuit against Plotnik's for costs of the contract, which they were to carry out in February. I think that's about where we are at, Don. I'm not sure if you have other questions related to what I just said.
Sure, that certainly gives us a good idea of the context of what's happening. I read on the internet that a group of people from your community walked 2,100 kilometers earlier this year. Could you tell us a little bit about that action?
Yes, we had certain members of our people. Once these things start moving at the community level, one of our members said that he was going to walk to Queen's Park. And so there were a number of walkers who joined him, at least four or five other walkers, and they were also changing along the way. And they started out about May the 8th in a town called Pickle Lake, and that's where they started walking from. That's where the highway begins. And so they got into Toronto probably around the first week of June, and they waited to do the final 3 kilometers from Upper Canada College down into Queen's Park, a 3-kilometer route to do on National Aboriginal Day, where we then held a press conference just to bring attention to what was happening in our territory, what was happening and what was not happening on the part of government, as well as what was happening with the companies. And basically, we were also trying to bring attention that we do would like to protect the land and the resources for our future generations. So that was a major undertaking for our members to take up their own initiative to walk the 2,100 kilometers. It is quite a distance.
No kidding. That's spectacularly far, and it shows how deep people's commitment to the land goes up there.
Yes, it is.
In this case, this $10 billion lawsuit, to my understanding, that's something quite unprecedented. Is that the case, or is this a regular thing happening by mining companies against First Nations?
As far as we know, it is the first case of it's any kind that a mining company is basically suing one of the First People communities for $10 billion, based on the fact that I guess that's what they feel that this mine would be worth in its lifespan. And yes, it is, in, from where we sit, highly unprecedented. And so you basically look at the fact that they had looked ahead and kind of put a figure on what they had expected or anticipated that they would generate from a mine in that territory. But I should let you know that where that situation and where that proposed drilling was to be situated is in an area which is quite sensitive to our territory, because the rivers just empty out into the main lake, which is where we live on. And so basically any type of wash, any type of waters coming from the drilling process would then empty into our lake, and it would obviously have an impact on our food supply, our water supply, and our other uses that we have for our waters and our lands in that area. So it was quite a highly sensitive area where they had intended to want to begin their activity.
I think that's all the time we have this morning. I want to thank you very much for having been with us, John.
Oh, you're welcome, Donna. Thank you for having me.
If I guess I do have one more question. If people wanted to find out more about what's happening, how would you suggest that they get more information?
Basically, we have a website that we post materials up. We haven't... it's kichinimeksipininwag.firstnation.ca. I do know that there were certain changes that were being made, so I'm not sure. But the other thing you may want to try is bigtroutlake.firstnation.ca.
Bigtroutlake.firstnation.ca.
Yes. Or you can call me at 807-627-9062. That's their cell number.
So it's 807-627-9062?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you again so much, John. It's really been fantastic to have your perspective about what's been going on, and congratulations in the last success you had before the courts, and hopefully it will continue on.
Thank you for that, Don. I really appreciate that, and thank you for your interest.
Have a good afternoon.
Same to you.